So today is October 12th, and this is the third Dharma talk of our fall practice period. This Dharma talk is on right concentration, or samadhi. We took up the topic of mindfulness. And the practice commitments for mindfulness in the past week. This week we'll concentrate on concentration. Next talk will take up prajna, or understanding. The next Dharma talk will be at the Day of Mindfulness, which is up at Mountain Lamp on October 25th. We have a session beginning, a Zen retreat beginning this Saturday that'll go for a week till the 24th, and then so the Zendo is going to be really well heated up for our Day of Mindfulness. There'll be a lot of good energy there. So I hope you'll come. We're going to talk about wisdom. So please don't miss that Day of Mindfulness. I think it's going to be a really nice day. The practice of mindfulness is a practice that we can carry from first thing in the morning till last thing at night. And indeed, you know, mindfulness is meant to be something, a practice where we are alive in that way in each moment. It begins each morning when we wake up and we set the intention for the day. And in setting an intention for the day is touching into what is our deepest truth in living our lives. And vowing then to live true to that throughout the day. There's a very beautiful gatha that Thich Nhat Hanh wrote that he encourages people to say first thing in the morning when you wake up is waking up in the morning, 24 brand new hours are before me. I vow to live each moment fully and to look at all beings with the eyes of compassion. Lovely. Lovely way to start the day. And after that, it's important then to take a little bit of time for sitting meditation to solidify that intention and to entrust ourselves to it. And sitting meditation is one form of concentration. In sitting meditation, we come back to one-pointed focus. Breathing in, I know that I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know that I'm breathing out. Sometimes it feels like when we talk about the word concentration, it's going to be like something we have to work at. We have to put a lot of energy into it. But if we are focusing on our breathing, we don't have to do anything at all. We need to just sit there, and our breath will come and go without us doing anything. And we can just let our mind and our awareness be there. It's a very lovely way to sit, a very wonderful practice. And it's very easy to smile, because it is light and gentle and open. And there's no strain at all. And when we notice that our mind is wandered off, we just simply come back and rest in our breath. Breathing in, breathing out. One of the commitments for this week is to practice stopping 5 times a day. I believe last week it was stopping, seeing where you were at, calming whatever thoughts, coming back and touching your intention, and letting yourself be touched by what's right in front of you. Maybe it's the cold air on your cheek. Maybe it's a delicious fall apple. But not letting anything get in between you and your experience of that moment. Sometimes it's hard to remember, oh, I'm going to stop 5 times a day. But you might have a bell on your computer, for example, if you're at work, that rings every hour or every two, and when the bell rings, just like when you're in the meditation hall and you're listening to a bell, you stop, and you just hear that bell breathing in, breathing out. How lovely that sound. There was a time in about the mid-90s when Plum Village started getting cuckoo clocks that ring every 15 minutes. And so every 15 minutes when the bell sounds, everybody stops. And breathes in and breathes out 3 times, just hearing the sound. And one time I was there in June, first time I was ever in Plum Village in June, I was hearing the cuckoos going off, cuckoo, cuckoo. And I was like, ah, time to stop and breathe. And then, it's just a couple of minutes later, I heard, cuckoo, cuckoo. And I thought, oh boy, that was a quick 15 minutes. And I just stopped and breathed. And it went like that for a whole day. And I was thinking, boy, they must have cuckoo clocks all over the places. But it turns out there were cuckoo birds in the woods. And it was their mating call. It was the first time I'd ever heard a real cuckoo. And they sound just like the clocks. I know some people who every time they come to a traffic light, they use the traffic light when it's red as a reminder to stop. And not just to stop the car, but also to stop the running around in their minds and to come back to their breath. And we do that so we know what is going on in our hearts and minds, so that we can pay attention. And to see if indeed that deep intention that we touched first thing in the morning, we're still touching it. It's still living in us. I had a friend come to me the other day and was telling me how they woke up in the morning feeling grouchy, and all day long things seemed to be going wrong, and felt grouchier and grouchier as the day went on. And she said that every time a thought would come up about somebody, it would be a complaint, or about a situation, it would be a feeling of frustration. And she said that when she started seeing that, she would just stop and she would breathe to know what is there. And she started asking a question, what is this about? How do I understand this? And then would let go and just create a lot of space around the grouchiness, around the frustration, around the criticism or the upset. This practice of mindfulness in this way, of creating a lot of space, of knowing what's happening in our hearts and minds, asking a question, paying attention, allows us to look deeply. And this word, looking deeply, is used really commonly throughout our tradition. And I think it is deeply misunderstood, because often people think looking deeply means, okay, I'm pissed off about this, and I'm going to try to figure out why I'm pissed off. And it's very psychological, analytical, or cognitive response. But looking deeply is really, truly another word for concentration. It's another way to talk about concentration. When we are aware that there is a thought or a feeling, and there is something we want to understand about that thought or that feeling, we come back to our breathing, we come back to our mindfulness. We know what the feeling is or the thought. We don't judge it. We don't push it away. But we don't chase after it and try to work it through either. But we come back to our breath and create a lot of space. We let our more intuitive self arise, more open and vulnerable. And when we're like that, that's to say we aren't attached to our perceptions. So when a thought has come up and we're aware of the thought, perhaps it's a criticism about somebody in the office, and we're aware of that. And we also have this intention in our mind to look at all everyone with the eyes of compassion. So if we're being mindful and that criticism comes up, we don't immediately say, oh, I'm a bad practitioner, I'm supposed to be compassionate. We don't reject ourselves any more than we'd reject the other. We simply come back and create a lot of space to see if something else will arise. We don't get attached to our perception about what is happening outside of ourselves, and we also don't get attached to the perception of what's happening inside of ourselves. We know what's there. We welcome it. And we come back to our breath. Just like in the morning when we've sat on the cushion, we sit there, not making a lot of effort at all, knowing that our breath will come and go naturally if we don't make any effort. Very much the practice of looking deeply is without effort also. It is a practice of coming back to ourselves and greeting what is there without getting lost in it. My friend said that after she had practiced with her grouchiness, she said first it came up as a criticism about her husband, then it came up as a frustration with the person who was driving in front of her, then it came up with the first person she talked to at her work, and then a phone call about some insurance, and she said it just kept coming up over and over, and she said, what is this about? She said, maybe it's not about my husband. Maybe it's not about the lousy driver on the freeway. Maybe it's not about my coworker or this phone call. And she just paid attention throughout the day as her criticism, her judgment, her upset kept coming up. And she was really gentle with herself about it. And she was really gentle with other people too. And she said at one point it became obvious to her that it was about control. That this was the old bugaboo she had, the old battle she had with her father about who was in charge. And she wasn't in charge of her husband. She wasn't in charge of the driver on the freeway. She wasn't in charge of what happened on the telephone. And she said, as soon as she saw that, she was just able to let go. It was absolutely okay. And she felt such compassion rise in herself, for herself, for allowing herself to let go. Looking deeply is a function. It leads to concentration, which leads to the fruit of liberation, of peace. When we talk about concentration, you know, it seems like, well, that's something that, you know, again, it takes a lot of effort. And yet we can experience concentration in just one period of sitting meditation. I remember once at Plum Village going to a tea meditation. And I really wanted to practice. And I was sort of upset that there was a tea meditation and it's everybody's going to be talking. And I thought, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity just to practice. And so when I stepped into the meditation hall, was invited in by the servers, I was following my breath. And as we bowed, I was following my breath. And as I went to my cushion, I was following my breath. I was being with it, being with my breath. And as the tea and cookies were passed, just stayed with my breath. And just kept coming back and being completely open. And at the same time, focused on my breathing. Not shutting anything out. And it was the most wonderful tea meditation. It was, I appreciated so much everyone in the room, everything that was shared, the tea, the cookie. Lovely, lovely. That's an example of one of the kinds of concentration. In one of form of concentration, we are completely present to whatever is before us. Whatever we are doing is the context of our practice. And this, as lay people, is a really important kind of concentration to begin to understand, that we can be concentrated and experience the joy of concentration, the liberation of concentration in anything we do, everything we do. Whatever comes up is the focus of our concentration. When we are walking, our feet are touching the ground. And we aren't thinking about where we're going or what we have to do when we get there. Our feet are just touching the ground. And there are endless opportunities to practice that all the time throughout our day. Touching the earth with our feet. Letting our awareness rest with our breath. this kind of concentration arises from continuous mindfulness. We experience it most deeply within our Sangha, with the support of our friends at retreats or days of mindfulness. But when we when we're really committed to our daily sitting and having our daily sitting be a very alive, so it's not just we're sitting on the cushion and daydreaming, but we are truly there, focused and practicing, then we find that bit by bit concentration develops that begins to carry through our day. And it's very easy then to experience the kind of concentration that allows us to know what's going on in our minds and our hearts when there's suffering there and how to take care of it. Very important practice. People tend to think that looking deeply at our suffering, at your suffering, at your anxiety, or your fear, or your depression, means to really concentrate on it, try to really work on it. But this is not correct. Looking deeply means knowing exactly what is there. Your concentration is active. It's welcoming, it's embracing, and it's creating space. Not getting lost in it, and not pushing it away. When we are in touch with our suffering in that way, we find that we are sitting in the lap of Avalokiteshvara, that the arms of compassion are surrounding us. So I want to put this in terms of Buddhist psychology, because I think this will help you understand some of the reading for this week.
I want to talk a little further about concentration in the relationship to our understanding that comes from Buddhist psychology or the Abhidharma. The Abhidharma tells us that there are eight kinds of consciousness. There's consciousness based on the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. Those are the first six kinds of consciousness. And then there's the consciousness based on the manas, which is the base of the mind. And then there's consciousness also based on the alaya, or the store consciousness. The store consciousness is the base for the other consciousnesses. Store consciousness contains all the seeds, individual and collective, all seeds that exist, all thought, all form, are exist simply as a seed. Manas takes a piece of the collective consciousness of the alaya, or the individual consciousness. The alaya, I said, is both collective and individual, and the seeds within it are both collective and individual. And manas takes a portion of that and identifies it as self. Everything then that comes into our consciousness goes through the manas and is perceived as, this is who I am, this is what I want, this is what I need, and or is perceived as something other. Yeah, this is not who I am, this is them, this is other than me. And these are all wrong perceptions. When we look the alaya, all the different seeds that are in the alaya. There's also the seed of awakening, or the seed of Buddha nature, and the seed of mindfulness. And we can call up the seed of mindfulness to be aware of everything that comes into our consciousness. And when the seed of mindfulness is there, then things don't get identified as self and other. This is very much what we were talking about in the first talk about the middle way that the Buddha taught, that beyond being and non-being. What is beyond being and non-being? So when we are completely mindful and we perceive something, we don't necessarily identify it as self or other. And in a place of concentration, then the manas no longer grabs onto everything in relationship to self and other. The two kinds of concentration, one is being concentrated on our mindfulness of every moment, so whatever comes into our consciousness, we know it's there, and we are, the seed of mindfulness is there holding it. When we are smelling, we know we are smelling. When we are hearing, we know we are hearing. When we are tasting, we know we are tasting. It is one of the kinds of consciousness. The other kind of consciousness is a consciousness where we are focused on just one thing, and it might be just our breath. And no matter what we're doing, we are with our breath, whether we are standing, walking, lying, tasting, hearing. We are still always present and conscious of our breathing. It also could be a koan. Traditionally, koans were given as a place of one-pointed focus. When you're taking up a koan, you have to be working with a teacher, someone who has already experienced further along the path, and can be a guide in working with a koan. Concentration in either of these ways ultimately allows the basis of our suffering, which is this a self-identification, which is a complete misperception of reality. It allows that perception, that is part of the manas, to be released from the store consciousness, so that the peace of the store consciousness that the manas claims as self gets released, and we experience the entirety, the wholeness, what is beneath and beyond that identification of being and non-being, self and other, right and wrong, up and down, all duality. And this experience is very much what we a place of freedom, because when we are no longer caught in either identifying with self or with other, in any level of duality, there is complete freedom from suffering. And the most deep peace and joy arises. We use terms like the Buddha mind to explain this. And although the manas is released at that point from the alaya, the stored consciousness, nevertheless, the two functions, the two dimensions are the same function of the same reality. Self and Buddha mind, suffering and joy, they're one. And that's why we can't push away our suffering from within or from without. One way this was expressed was by an 11th century Zen master when he was asked by a disciple, "Where can I touch the realm of no birth, no death?" And the master replied, "Right in the world of birth and death." Thay speaks about this as suffering and our suffering and joy is one, or he uses the metaphor of the flower and the garbage, that when we look at what we want to get rid of in our lives, what we consider the garbage or the compost, And we know how to look with the eyes of concentration, the eyes of wisdom. We see that contained within the compost there is the flower, that the flower can't exist without the compost, and that the compost doesn't exist without the flower. They inter are. They both exist as part of the same oneness, the same reality. The Prajnaparamita speaks about this as form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. Form is no other than emptiness. Emptiness is no other than form. And so concentration allows us to be released from our self-identification, which is the basis of our suffering. And so we cultivate concentration with our one-pointed focus, either by being aware in each moment of what is there, what's happening in our minds, what's happening in our perceptions. Every level of consciousness that arises, we know it's there. Or one-pointed consciousness, one-pointed concentration, just this breath, nothing else. No matter what we're doing, we're coming back to our breath. Breathing in, I know that I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know that I'm breathing out. Both of these we practice both on our cushion and as we go about our day. And something wonderful arises out of this. One day, a great surprise. And we find a tremendous release from our attachment to our ideas and perceptions of what the world is, and see something much more profound. Something we never possibly could imagine with our thinking mind. So please practice right concentration, or skillful concentration, as it is sometimes called. Practice by sitting daily and letting yourself be aware over and over and over again of what is happening in this moment. Don't let yourself self-separate for even one moment. Thank you very much.
Well, to stretch your legs, and then we can see if there are any announcements.